following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
As we've been going through in the courtyard series, we've been looking at selected parables throughout the New Testament, and we're going to continue on that trend. And so if you guys right now, if you have your Bibles, why don't you open them up to the Gospel of Matthew? And we're primarily going to be looking at verse 24 through 29 tonight. So Matthew 7, 24 through 29. And before we jump in, I just want to pray for us. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, God, just all the truth that we just even sang. God, you're good. God, you are so good. When life is hard, when life is tough, when we don't understand why things are happening, Jesus, you are still good. Lord, as we approach your word tonight, God, we're aware, we believe, and we trust that it's alive and it's active. It's able to reach even the hardest of hearts, God. And every single person here tonight that is saved is a testimony to that truth, that you can reach even the hardest, most stubborn people. Jesus, we thank you for that truth. Lord, we ask that you would fill us afresh, even right now. And Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. We submit ourselves to you right now, Lord. We love you, and we ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Man, well, guys, I'm really excited to be bringing the word tonight. As I said, we're in Matthew 7. And for those of you who don't know, my name's David. I'm the high school pastor here. And about 3 to 4 weeks ago, I had this awesome blessing, this opportunity to be able to take some of our youth group, some of our high schoolers over to Northern Ireland, where we served for a week-long outreach called Spark. And it was in the area of Ballymena. And it was an amazing time. The students killed it. They did so good. They represented Jesus so well. I was so proud of them. But one of the things that Rick and Cindy Johnston, there are missionaries that are from or that are in Northern Ireland, they told us, you need to get here a little bit early because the jet lag will dismantle some of you, especially for those who haven't or are not used to travel like this guy. And so we went there. We got there early, which was, I'm glad we did, because again, we showed up and some of us, maybe me, was dismantled. I was so tired. And so we had a couple of days before we even got to get into this outreach. And one of the things that Rick told us to do, he's like, you need to check out this place called Carrickfergus Castle. Are any of you guys familiar with that? Either was I. So, okay, so we're on the same page. The really cool thing about this castle, it was historic. And when we went there, we were able to take a guided tour. So there was a guy that was showing us around, showed us the different rooms in this castle, and told us the history behind each room and things like that. And so I loved it. The students loved it. And so we learned some stuff about this castle. We found out that the castle was built in the 12th century by a man named John de Courcy, and it was located on the shore of Belfast, which is an area in Northern Ireland. And as the story goes, there were a couple of reasons of why John de Courcy decided to build this castle in this exact location. And the two reasons, as the guy was explaining, and even as, you know, looking up, reason number one, there was this natural water, like this spring of water, this well, which is really interesting because it was so close to the ocean, yet it was untainted by the salt water. And so he was thinking, man, if I can build a castle around this fresh water source, especially when people are trying to come in and attack. A lot of times people would come in and attack and they would just wait out the people inside and they would eventually have to leave if they ran out of water or food. And so de Courcy was onto something and he's going, man, if we build around this water source, we won't have to leave. This will be a win for my team or for my guys and I. And number two, it was right on the coast. And when I mean on the coast, I mean it was right on the coast. It was actually built upon, this would all be ocean right here from there all the way out over to there. That's all ocean. And it's literally built on the rock right here on the shore. And so he definitely knew what he was doing,
right? This place was actually so fortified. It was structured so well that even in World War II, it was used as a shelter when bombs were going down. And what was crazy for us and for the students there is you're looking at this building or this castle from the 12th century, and it's still standing. You could even see on the walls where the people would sharpen their spears and stuff. It was such a trip. And it blew me away. I'm like, man, this is, again, I'm looking at something from the 12th century, and it's still standing. It's still standing. Had De Courcy built this castle on anything other than the foundation that he built it upon, there would have been no castle for me and the team or for anybody really to go and to check out. There would be no castle. And anyone who's in construction, right, would know that to build a structure on anything other than a solid foundation, well, it's just faulty, right? Nobody would do that. Nobody would do that. It just wouldn't make sense to build something or to build upon something that they knew wouldn't last. And so this truth shows up for us over and over, even within Scripture. And the truth is that foundations matter. What we build upon matters. And so as we look at this parable that Jesus gives at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7 of Matthew, he's going to repeat the same thing. He's going to say foundations matter, and what we build our life upon matters, and it matters eternally. It's a very significant, it has a lot of weight to it. And so you guys should already be there at verse 24 of Matthew 7. I'm going to start reading. I'm going to read all the way down to 29. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Verse 26, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so Jesus compares two people groups right here. He says there is the wise man, and there is the foolish man. And he even declares, he says, "I can tell if you are wise or foolish by the way you are living your life and by what you are building your life upon." And now Jesus, he starts this parable with a statement. If you guys look at verse 24, the statement, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them." And so before we go even into the depth of this parable, we need to understand, well, what is he talking about? Here's what sayings of mine. Well, what is he talking about? So if you guys are in chapter 7, if you look just a little bit prior to that, it might even have in your headings, it might say like a tree known by its fruit. And so Jesus, he talks about that exact thing. He talks about a person is known by what they do, pretty much. A tree is known by their fruit. And then it later will go on and it'll say, not all who say, "Lord, Lord," will enter into heaven. And so what he's getting at is it doesn't matter what you say, or if you say you listen to the Lord or to the word or anything like that, it's what you do with it. It's how you act with it. And so Jesus is saying, everyone who hears what I'm teaching and does them or abides in them, I will liken him to a wise man. And this is something that shouldn't be foreign to any of us. If we read Scripture, again, this is a concept that is talked about over and over again, about just not just hearing, but doing. Not just pretending like you're a part of what we call the Christian faith or a believer, a follower of Jesus, but actually walking in it. The book of 1 John is all about being a genuine follower of Jesus. And our brother James here, he says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Jesus says again, it's not the one who simply hears, but it's the one who hears and does my word that's considered wise. Let's look at verse 24 again. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." And so the foundation foundation is Christ, the rock. The foundation here is Christ. Notice, as you guys look, notice that building your life upon the rock is more than building your life upon moral teachings. It's more than building your life upon moral principles. It's way more than that. It's building your life upon Christ himself. Great morality, being a good person, that doesn't save us, right? That would be a byproduct of when we meet the Lord and we encounter the Lord. We would become these people who live that way, but that's it. We come to the Lord first. And so this wise man, the man who hears the word of God and keeps it, he builds his life on the rock, and it does not matter what kind of storms come his way, his house will not fall. And this should be something that is so encouraging for every single believer here tonight. We're actually promised in the Bible that we will have times of trials, of persecution, even of tribulation. And this passage claims that there's just storms of life. There's just stuff that hits out of nowhere. And that's promised in the Bible, but equally, there's a promise that God will sustain us through it. It's such an encouragement. It's not even our own ability at times to stay standing, but it's God's faithfulness that keeps us up. It's amazing. Let's look at verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Review, just real quick. I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. What makes the wise man wise in this parable? Jesus says the wise are the people who do what? Follow his teachings, right? The people who hear and do the word of God. So in contrast to the wise man, the fool hears the word of God, but does nothing with it. This, as I was studying, and as I've heard this before, this is where it can get scary, and this is where it should be sobering for every one of us, every single one of us. This parable wasn't just taught for the non-believing crowd, of people that Jesus was speaking to. Okay, it was just as much for the person that maybe even agreed with what Jesus was saying, but failed to do anything with the words. They didn't go beyond listening. They just heard it, failed to act upon it. Jesus says, it's not the one who merely listens to my word that's wise. It's the one who both listen and again, does my words. He says, to be just a listener is foolish. It's to build upon sand. It's to build upon faulty ground. To have our lives firmly planted on the foundation of Christ is to be someone who is actively listening and living this gospel message. It's not just talking about repentance or talking about what that would look like in your current situation. It's actually repenting when we mess up, right? It's not about talking about loving your neighbor and again, what that would look like and what it looked like in biblical times. It's actually about going out and loving your neighbor. Not just to tell other people about this message, but to be people who live their lives in accordance to this message that we call the gospel. Jesus did not want, and he does not want today, he doesn't want people just to become mere reporters. He doesn't just want us to report things about him, just report information. He wants us individually. He wants us to become disciples, learners, livers, and loyal followers. And notice that the single difference in this parable is the foundation the house was built on. What made the person wise or foolish was his choice on what they would build their lives upon. It says the floods of life, they're going to come to the believer and to the person who doesn't know Jesus alike. Nobody's exempt from these different storms coming. Becoming a follower doesn't mean that these storms cease to happen at all. But again, it just means that God has promised that he will hold us in the midst of it. And so tonight, if you're a believer, I just pray that this truth right here, this scripture, would just encourage you. Dominic even talked about it. There's times where you might be here tonight and you're a believer, you love the Lord, but you feel like you're in a dark tunnel and you're looking around and you do not know where you're at. And you might have these questions of God, what, are you even there right now? I don't feel like you're there. I'm hurting, right? You might have questions. You might be going through some serious stuff, but I would just encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus and know that regardless if you can't see left to right, back to forth, your feet are firmly planted in the only foundation that'll hold you. That is such an encouragement. It does not matter what life will throw at us. It does not matter what storms of life will come. Jesus says we are planted firmly in him. And that's amazing. Yeah, amen. That's awesome. Now, for the person who does not know Jesus, the person who has not placed their faith in Jesus, I have to ask, because again, Christians, we're not exempt from going through things. We still go through things. Life can still be hard as a believer. And so what happens? What happens? So again, if you're somebody who hasn't placed their faith in Jesus, what happens when the ground that you're standing on starts completely crumbling? What happens when you got that job that you finally, you know, thought that this is the end all be all, and you're working and you get to the top, whatever that is, and you think this is where it's at, and you only find out that you feel more empty up there than you did when you started? What happens when tragedy strikes, when these storms of life come? And I would just say, again, for those of you who are in Christ, for those of you who know Jesus, who have encountered him, there was a time in your life, most likely, where you weren't walking with him, unless if you walked with him from a very young age. You know what it's like to feel like the floor underneath you has absolutely crumbled. Jesus says, don't be a fool. And this is crazy. This is, as you're reading, this isn't my words calling anybody a fool. Scripture, Jesus himself says people that continue to build their life on sandy ground is foolish. And it's absolutely, I mean, this is deep. This is crazy what he's saying here. It's something that I love that Jesus does. I think I mentioned it in the very beginning. This comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. And so I think it's at the end of Matthew 4 or the beginning of 5, doesn't matter. But Jesus was going about different towns, different cities, and he's healing people and he's performing miracles. And so you have disciples that have followed him up listening to this message. You no doubt probably had some religious leaders coming up and trying to probably catch him in what he was going to say. And then you have all these different people who saw Jesus perform miracles and they wanted to hear him speak, and they also probably wanted to see him perform more miracles. All of these people are here, and Jesus closes off this huge Sermon on the Mount, and he closes it off with this picture, something they would understand. Simple, right? This parable, it's simple. The wise and the fool. The wise builds their life upon something that lasts, where the fool doesn't. And so he leaves all the people that were listening with a decision. And that's something I love about the gospel. It always elicits a response, always. And so he leaves everybody that's listening with a decision. And it's the same decision I want to leave you guys with tonight. He gives you two options, literally. He says, you could build your life on sure foundation. You could build your life upon me, or you can continue to build your life on things that you know won't hold. It's interesting that he uses sand. For the youth, every Friday we'd go down to the beach. We'd have like a little beach days. If you've ever run, especially on wet sand, it's kind of almost like snow. Sometimes you're running and then it just kind of slips, right? Your foot kind of gives a little bit. It's because it's not meant to hold you. You can't build anything on it. It's foolish. He uses such clear words. And so again, he gives you an option. He gave everybody an option to be the wise man who builds upon him, or to be the fool who doesn't. And so this is what I want to do. I want to pray for you guys. I'm going to have Dominic come up. I think he's going to lead us in one more song. I'm going to pray for you guys. And again, for the believer, I just pray that you would focus so much on the fact that even if you're going through a hard time right now, your feet is planted on the surest foundation. You're going to be all right. Jesus has you. Right? And for the person who does not know Jesus, I pray and I plead that you would just consider what is being said here. Maybe you've already gone through those crises in life and you feel like even though you're standing on sidewalk or concrete, you still somehow weirdly feel like you're falling. You feel like you don't know where you're going. I would just say and encourage you to look to Jesus. And I also would encourage you to make a decision tonight. There's no reason. There's no reason to wait. It's crazy that right now we are promised this moment, not 5 minutes from now, not a year from now, not retirement. We're promised this moment right now. And so I just pray and I encourage you that this would be the moment where you encounter the Lord and you say yes to him finally. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you again for who you are. God, what an encouragement it is that you tell us, Jesus, that as your sons and daughters, we are firmly planted. God, this world that we live in is crazy. The things that are going on are crazy, Lord. And with all this stuff going on, God, the truth remains, you have us. The thought of letting us go, the thought of forsaking us has never crossed your mind, Jesus, because you are a faithful creator. You are a faithful God. God, we praise you for that truth. We praise you for that. And we thank you for that, Lord. God, thank you for taking us. God, thank you for not just making us into better people, God, but thank you for making us into something completely new. God, so I just pray for the believer tonight who's discouraged, who feels maybe like they don't know where they're going right now. They're a little confused. God, remind them that their feet are planted in you and you have them. And again, Lord, for the person who does not yet know you, God, I pray that your spirit would just be drawing them even right now. God, I pray that conviction would happen, that they would see that maybe for the first time, the reason life hasn't been making sense is because you're out of it. Lord, I pray that you would just, again, you would just impress upon them even right now who you are, God, eternal. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you again for your faithfulness. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.